Amen. It's wonderful to be here tonight, and we've been praying for Alistair as he was ministering this morning in Pretoria. So I just say I think it went well there, because I do believe in prayer. Pray. Open your Bibles for me, please, in Luke chapter 15. Lucas 15. Luke chapter 15. I'm continuing where our pastor left off last week. He was talking about family. I'm going to be talking about the family of God and our inheritance. Many of us join a church. We join the body of Christ. We become part of the body of Christ. We are baptized into the body of Christ. And some of us just at one moment, and some of us just for a moment, we leave the body. Just for a moment, maybe in our thoughts, some people leave the body for a few months, and some people, like the prodigal son, leave the presence of the father for a few months or a few years. And sometimes things befall him, like what happened to the prodigal son. Now, Luke chapter 15 is about someone, the whole chapter of Luke chapter 15 is about someone who lost a sheep. And then it is about someone who lost a coin. And then it is about someone who lost a son. So we're going to be speaking about someone who lost a son. Now, why would someone leave the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Why would someone leave the fellowship of his Father? Basically, because we are three parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. Fortunately, for those of us who are born again, our spirit was cleansed by the blood. Our soul is being cleansed by the word, and our body will be resurrected one day. Amen. But this son, the prodigal son, he did not appreciate his inheritance. So let's read from Luke chapter 15. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now this riotous living basically is excessive drinking and promiscuous sex. That's what it talks about in the Bible. That's the living that he... Will someone put this fan off? Please. Amen. So we're talking about this. I'll just turn it away that it doesn't blow all my stuff away. Thank you. So it talks about this living that he did. He spent his substance on righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he had come to himself, he said, how many hired servants in my father's house have bread and spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this is my son, he was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, thy brother come, and thy father hath killed and the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering him to his father, lo, these many days do I. This old King James Version is a very tongue-tied. Okay, I usually read the New King James Version, serve thee. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. I was meet that should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. Tot zover. That was a back four. I was at a funeral this week, and this funeral was for a colleague of mine that had committed suicide. And the pastor used exactly the same scripture as this when delivering these messages. And I was wondering, sitting there, how is he going to bring this in a funeral where someone committed suicide? But you know, when someone commits suicide, it's because for a moment, they left the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Just for a moment, because this person was a Christian. Why would someone who was a Christian commit suicide? It's because of a lie that they believe for a moment. They believe it for a moment and they leave the family, they leave the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in this case, this son believed that there is better out there without the fellowship of the Father, without being in the protection of the Father. But he believed that he could take his inheritance and squander it on this promiscuous living, and that was good. You see, sin many times feels good for a moment, but it leads to destruction. The first son did not appreciate what his father had done for him. He didn't appreciate the cost of his inheritance. But both these sons, you will see the second son, the first son left spiritually and physically. The other left spiritually and emotionally. The first son didn't appreciate what his father had done for him. And he wasted it away. And the other one, you could see by his attitude, he did not see that the father had done for him. He acted as if the father had never given him anything. In the meantime, everything was there at his disposal all the time. So why did they not appreciate the inheritance? And what can we learn from it? That's what I'm going to speak about now. And I'm going to speak about specifically something, and I've dealt it with the Bible school students. I spoke to them about our redemption, being redeemed. Now, in the English language, there is one word for redeem. One word for redeem. That is redeem. And many of us don't even know what the word redeem means. Who knows what the word redeem means? Anybody? We hear this word, and this word is redeem. Now, let me explain it to you with a personal experience. I had a company car, and I drove up to Johannesburg for a meeting, and I stayed over in a hotel, and that night I parked my car in front of the hotel under a tree behind all the other cars. The next morning, I got out of the hotel room and I walked outside, and my car was not there anymore. So my first thought was stolen. I went to the police station and I spoke to the police officer and took down all my details, and then one of the police officers said to me, where exactly did you park your car? And I said, there under that tree in that street. And they said, that is a peak zone. If your car is left there after 7 in the morning, they tow it away. So what did I have to go and do? I had to go to the pound and I had to pay money to get back which was mine in the first place. I redeemed my car. I got it back. I paid something to get it back. That's what this word redeem means in the English language. That's what God did for us. He redeemed us. But in the Greek language, there is 4 words for redeem. And I'm going to talk to you about that as well tonight. There are 4 Greeks. Now, the Holy Spirit, I just want to applaud the Holy Spirit and for the wisdom in using the Greek language to write the New Testament, because it's a very, very expressive language. There are 4 words for the one word. And the first word I want to talk to you about is the word agorizo. Agorizo. It means the marketplace for slaves. It's a word for redeem. It means the marketplace for slaves. That is the actual definition for the word redeem, and it's found in Scripture in Revelation 5 verse 9. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." There's that word redeem, and that is the word agoritsu, meaning the marketplace for slaves. Now, why would the Holy Spirit use this word to describe the word redeem? The marketplace for slaves. We must know that slavery, like any other atrocity against mankind, came to be because of sin. Came to be because of, just like rape, just like murder, just like violence, it came to be because of sin. And in the same way, marketplace for slaves, slave markets, came to be because of the sin and the fall of man. Let me explain to you what a slave market was like in biblical times. A marketplace for slaves in biblical times was a place where the merchandise, which was human beings, was put on display just like animals are put out in a marketplace. At these marketplace for slaves would be buyers. And these buyers would be encouraged to inspect the merchandise. In other words, they would look at them, and one way to see if a slave was strong and could work hard was by looking at the slave's teeth. So they would force back the head of the slave, force his mouth open, and look at the teeth to see whether that slave was strong. They would kick them and hit them to see if they were strong, if they were fit. They would slap them. They would spit on them, they would curse them to test their temperament. The female slaves were disrobed because they were used for immoral purposes. Even the young girls were disrobed because they were used for immoral purposes. So the slaves were treated very much like animals would be treated at any auction. Who's been to an animal auction? Amen. Now these slaves were treated that way. Inspected. Looked at their teeth. Hit. Slapped. To test their temperament. So why in the world would the Holy Spirit use this word to describe redemption? Because when Jesus came to this earth, the beautiful garden that He had created had become a marketplace for slaves. And we were the slaves. You see, Satan was our taskmaster. He was our owner. He was doing anything he could do to humiliate us, to degrade us, to slap us, to spit on us, to mock us, to curse us, to disrobe us. And many of us, before we came to Christ, were disrobed in humility, humiliation. That's where we were before Jesus entered the marketplace. We were slaves where the highest bidder had control over us. You see, and the wonderful thing about our slave, about our Savior, Jesus Christ, the wonderful thing about Him is He didn't just wave His hand and get us out of this marketplace. He entered that very marketplace and became a slave Himself. And if you look at the crucifixion, what happened to Jesus at the crucifixion? He was humiliated. He was kicked. He was beaten. He was cursed. And the short and long of this, He suffered what we suffered. And you need to understand that everything that we endured, He endured. Jesus entered this marketplace. And He endured what we endured. So that we would never have to go back to this marketplace again. You see, that's where we were, and that's where Jesus came to get us. The second word for redemption, redeem, is the word ex agaritu. It means out of the marketplace for slaves. It's found in Galatians 3, verse 13. I'm going to read from my notes there. I don't like the Old King James Version. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So the prefix ex means out of. Ex means out of the marketplace for slaves. Now, you guys, the wonderful news of the gospel. Not only did Jesus come to the marketplace as a slave, He came to get us out of the marketplace for slaves. Here's another wonderful word in the Bible to show us how fantastic our redemption really is. We are redeemed. We are redeemed. Remember what redemption means? So this shows us the cost of our inheritance. When a slave was put on an auction block, he was sold to the highest bidder. In the same way, Satan put us on the auction block and sold us to the highest bidder. According to the scripture, it says we were sold under sin. Romans says we were sold under sin. It also says we were slaves to sin before we were born again. So I'm asking you tonight, what sins were your master? What sins were your master before you came to Christ? What sins were your master before you came to be born again by the blood? Do you understand what I'm saying? Satan might have put you on the auction block and sold you as a young boy, as a young girl, to lust. Because you maybe looked at the wrong pictures. And if it had not been for Jesus, you would still be a slave to that right now. And if you are still a slave to that, there's hope in Jesus. There's hope in Jesus. And that thing can lead, remember, sin leads to destruction. If it had not been that you were saved, if it had not been that you were born again, that would have led to your destruction. So here's what's so incredible about Satan. He comes and he sells you over and over again, again and again. He puts you on that auction block again and again. He sells you to anger. He sells you to bitterness. He sells you to inferiority. He sells you to insecurity, to pride. He sells you to fear, to rejection. And he will sell you to just about any type of master that you would yield to. I'm sorry, I'm bringing you a very serious message tonight. You're going to smile just now, maybe. Maybe. Because there's hope in Jesus Christ. You see, you must understand that we had absolutely no hope of getting out of this marketplace. You need to understand, without Christ, there was no hope of getting out of this marketplace for slaves. We could only be set free by being redeemed. In other words, someone getting you out of the marketplace for slave. Here's the third definition for this word redeem. It's the word lutrosis. It means the full payment for a slave. It's found in Hebrews 9 verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption, or the full price. You see, lutrosis means the full payment for a slave. Having obtained eternal redemption. This Greek word is lutrosis. It means the full payment of a slave. The full asking price of a slave. Now, if a slave owner knew that someone was particularly interested in a slave, they would put up the price of a slave. And in this case, The buyer is very interested in buying this slave. Do you know why? Do you know that the highest price that has ever been paid for a human being was paid for you? Do you know that? The cost of your inheritance. The highest price that's ever been paid for anybody has been paid for you. says again, I'm going to read it again. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You were horribly mistreated, abused. You had absolutely no hope. But He came to redeem you. If you don't allow this revelation to stay fresh in your mind, you will leave home like the prodigal son. You will leave the fellowship. You will maybe even leave this church. If you don't let that revelation stay fresh in your heart. Because Satan will convince you. And this is the amazing thing. Satan will convince you that slavery is better than freedom. Satan will convince you that even though you are a believer, he will convince you to go back into bondage, to sin. That's incredible to me. That he's able to convince us that it's better to be in slavery. We have to remind one another, we have to remind you of our inheritance and the cost of our inheritance. One of the best stories in the Old Testament, and this is actually the story of the prodigal son in the Old Testament, is the story of Hosea. Who knows the story of Hosea? And I'm going to paraphrase this because it's a very intricate part of the Bible. Hosea, God said to Hosea, you are going to enact what I've had to endure with my people. And he said to Hosea, Hosea, you must marry a prostitute. Go out and marry a woman, a harlot. Go marry a harlot and have her as your wife. So Hosea went out and he married this woman. And he had children with her. But soon this woman started running around with other men. And these men, when they got tired of her, what they did to her, this woman, they would go and take and put her back on the auction block. And she would be sold to the highest bidder. And that man would then use her for a while and then take her back to the slave market. And she would be sold again and again. Eventually this woman became old, and she was old and she wasn't beautiful anymore. And yes, she was on the auction block and she was being auctioned again, and they were bidding on her. Five rand. Because she wasn't worth much to people. Maybe 10 rand. And yes, suddenly from the back of the auction floor came an amazingly high bid for this woman. And everybody turned around. And Yahweh was Hosea. And he was bidding. And he was saying, I want you. I want you to come back to me. I want you to be my wife. Because I love you. I want you back. No matter what you did last night, no matter where you slept, I want you back. And that's exactly what God had to endure with us. No matter what you did last night, no matter where you were, God wants you back. And he will pay the highest price to get you back. Hosea was a minor prophet, but he had a major message. He had to live out in his life what God had to endure prophetically. Amen. The highest price paid for a human was paid for you. Let's look at the next word. Apoleutrosis. It means the full payment for a slave's freedom. Found in Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's this word, apoletrosis. Apo means, this is very important, apo means to return back to the original state. Now listen here. Jesus not only bought you, but he paid the full price to return you to your original state before the fall of man. Sinless in the sight of God. Perfect. Remember when the prodigal son was busy preparing his speech before he came to his father, saying, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I will become one of your hired servants. But his father didn't look at that. He said, you're my son, I want you. You see, he wanted, that father wanted to return him to the original state. He said to his servants, bring him the best robe. Now, who do you think in that whole household would wear the best robe? Who would wear the best robe in the house? The father. Why did the father want him to have his robe? Because he wanted him to look like the father. He wanted that son to look like a father. Why did he put a ring on his finger? Because that ring, a signet ring, meant that he could do business on behalf of the father. Why did he want him to have sandals on his feet? Because a slave does not wear sandals. A slave walks bare feet. A son wears shoes in the house of the father. He wanted to return him to the original state. He looked like the father. He could do business on behalf of the father. He was not a slave anymore. He walked with shoes on his feet. God returned us. That's what's so wonderful about this redemption. He returned us to original state before the fall of man. Amen. Just say to your neighbor, did you know that? Did you know that? I am back to the original state. I'm perfect in the sight of God. Amen. We were in the slave market. Can you remember that? We were in the slave market. And Jesus entered the slave market. And he did not pay just the price for us to get out of there. He paid it for our freedom. He didn't want us to be slaves. He wanted us to be brothers and sisters to him. He paid an extra amount so that we could be free as well. See, that's what happened in the slave market. In the slave market, you could buy a slave and set him free. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He had to pay extra. He had to go the extra mile to set us free. Now look at this in Galatians 4 verse 7. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You are not a slave anymore. You are a son. You were returned to your original state. You were returned to your original state. Because the full price was paid. Luke 3 verse 37. Now I want to show you what the original state is like. What is the original state? It's found in Luke 3 verse 37. It says here, the son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, the son of Canaan, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. The original state is you are a son of God. You must remember Jesus is the only begotten son of God. But Adam was created a son of God. You know what Jesus did for me? He returned me to the original state before sin came into this world. That's what he did for me. Did he do it for you? That's what he did for me. He returned me to the original state before sin came into this world. We know that Adam was with Eve when she sinned. We know that. If you read the scripture, you know that. But let's pretend for a moment that Adam was not with Eve. Just pretend. Just go with me for a moment. We pretend that Adam wasn't with Eve. And God came to Adam. And he said to him, your bride has sinned. And she must die. And Adam would have said, I don't want her to die. And God would have said, I will make you another. And Adam would have said, but I love her. And God said, because of sin, someone must die. And Adam would have said, then let it be me. Then let it be me. And by the way, if that had been the case, Adam would have been resurrected because he had no sin. Just like you.
will be resurrected one day if you die. Because God sees you without any sin. Let's read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit was not first, but the natural, and afterwards the spiritual. The first man was of the earth made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as it is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we born the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. You can bear the image of the heavenly man, which is Jesus Christ. Now I want to put it to you that that conversation did take place. But not between the first Adam and God. That conversation took place between the second Adam and God. God came to the second Adam and He said, your bride has sinned. And she must die. And the second Adam would have said, I don't want her to die. And God would have said, I will make you another. And the second Adam would have said, but I love her. And God would have said, someone has to die. And Jesus said, let it be me. That is the message. That is the inheritance that we have in Christ. Let us all stand right now. If you realize your inheritance and what it cost God to give you that inheritance, you will never leave home. I want every eye closed, every head bowed, no one looking around right now. Thank you. If you are here tonight and your life has been a mess and you do not know this Lord Jesus Christ who redeemed us by His blood, I want to pray with you tonight. So there where you are, if that is you and you need to know this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I want you to lift your hand and I will pray with you. I see that hand. Anybody else? I see that hand. I see that hand. If that is you and you say, I need that Savior, you can put your hand down. If you put your hand up, put your hand down. If that is you and you say, I need this Lord and Savior tonight, I want to pray with you right now. Just lift your hand. There where you are. And I'll pray with you. He has redeemed us by His blood. He set us free so that we don't need to be slaves. We are sons of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If that is you and you put up your hand, I want you to be bold tonight. I want you to step out of your chair. Come stand here in front with me. I want to pray with you. Come. Come. Pray this prayer with me. I think everybody pray this prayer with me. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come to You tonight and I confess that I've been a sinner. I believe that You died on the cross and I've been redeemed by Your blood. Thank You, Lord, for saving me. Thank You, Lord, that I can receive Your life. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Amen.